Mystery. Carlton E. Morse adventure thriller. Murder is the word for it. But first, a message. Something has happened. Something is new. Something has changed since the movie stars moved to Mutual. Yes, friends, all through the week, you can notice the difference. The plus difference in entertainment that begins on Monday nights with Woman of the Year and Crime Does Not Pay. It continues on Tuesday with the Black Museum and the story of Dr. Kildare, moves into Wednesday night with the hour-long MGM musical comedy theater, and continues on Thursday in the adventures of Casanova and the Hardy family. Friday evenings, you'll find added entertainment with the adventures of Maisie and the Gracie Fields show. And summing up the week for Mutual's new radio attractions is the MGM Theater Fair. Yes, the movie stars are moving to Mutual. You can notice the difference. The plus difference. You'll be hearing from Hollywood and its stars through the week over most of these same stations. And now, I Love a Mystery.
Six 6:00 in the morning in the little chapel at Truscott House. About an hour ago, the chapel bell rang, and Jack hurried here with Lutzen. They found Andrew just coming out, and Jill was discovered on the stairs leading up to the belfry. Doc was checking over the rooms in the main house when he joined Jack at the chapel. Andrew produced the key to the inner chapel where the Truscotts of the past lie in vault. As Doc was looking at one of these, he discovered one of the doors unlocked. The door was thrown open. Jill gasped, for lying there in her own tomb was Teresa Truscott. Jack and Doc brought her out and laid her on the floor. There was nothing to be done. She was dead.
Another murder. Well, one thing's sure. We got the one who done it right here. It's got to be one of these three people. Jill, Lutzen, or Andrew.
Murder? But who'd want to?
But I was swift. I got
all it. Right, all right. Let's take it easy. This sticky business is beginning to make sense now. There's a plan starting to take shape, and if I can just fill in a few blank spaces, I think we'll have the whole thing cleared up before long.
You mean you think you know who done it?
I think so, yes. Now, let's get this much straight. I know all the essential facts. I know that Tony was murdered. I know who did it, just as I know who killed Miss Teaver. What I'm getting at is there's no point in anybody lying. Is that clear? Now, I want to go right back to the time of our arrival here night before last. We were brought here, as you probably know now, to protect Miss T, who for some reason feared something was going to happen to her. Jill, how did you know we were detectives?
Andrew told me.
Andrew? How did you know, Andrew?
Well, I mailed Miss T. Wasn't much of a trick to put two and two together, yes. She sent a letter to Mr. Packard and Mr. Long. The address was AAA1 Detective Agency. So when Mr. Packard and Mr. Long arrived, really, don't take much of a detective to know that they was detectives.
I reckon your hand is there already, Andy. But the thing that gets me is this chapel bell ring.
We'll get to that in a minute, Doc.
Oh, well, don't forget about that dead swan that's hanging on the rope, too.
Yeah, Tony did that, of course, didn't he, Andrew?
But Tony said he was asleep during the bell ringing that first night.
Yeah, he was lying. Don't think there's any doubt that Tony hated Miss T. He knew he could hurt her by killing something she loved. Am I right, Andrew? You were pretty close to Tony.
He killed a swan while he was drunk. He told me so the next day. Thought it was a pretty good joke on Miss T. But he didn't ring the bell. He swore it.
But who rung the bell the first time, then? And who rung it this morning?
Now, that'll all clear up as soon as I find out some other things.
That whistling we heard was you, wasn't it, Lutzen?
Yes. Curt and I used to meet at night.
And you was going out to meet him the night the chapel bell rang?
Yes.
And you acted so funny up in the bell tower there because you didn't know if he was back of all the shenanigans or not, huh?
Yes. I didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm. How about Tony's liquor? Where'd you get that? Look, there's no point in keeping it secret now. You like a little nip once in a while yourself, don't you, Andrew?
Oh, well, of course I, Yes, now that you come down to it, I don't see no harm in a little drink if a man knows how to handle it.
So you kept Tony supplied, huh? He must have done a pretty good business.
Oh, now don't get me wrong, young fella. I didn't make a red cent out of it. I only brought Tony liquor for one reason, and that was I was sorry for him. Well, that boy was a goner. All he had left was liquor. Mighty unhappy young fella, but I'll remember what I told you. It wasn't the liquor that ruined him. He was lost before he ever took a drink.
Yeah, now we're getting at it. Jill, your father and mother died when you were a baby, right?
That's right. I was about a year old. Tony was four.
Yes, you told us last night, Andrew, that Tony was the spitting image of his father.
Yeah, and he drank, too. That's why Miss T wouldn't let him be buried here in the chapel, the way I get it.
Say, Andrew, you've known Miss T for a good many years.
Oh, yes, yes. I knew her before you was born. I'll bet on that.
Yes, but what I'm wondering is, how did it happen she never married?
Miss Jill will excuse me for saying so. She was, I don't quite know how to say it.
Go ahead, Andrew. Everybody in the country knows it. Auntie never married because she was disappointed in love.
Oh? Who was she in love with?
My father.
Yes, that's what I've been waiting to hear.
What do you mean, Jack?
Yes, the pieces are beginning to fit into the puzzle now. So Miss T's sister married Anthony Preston, and Miss T never got over it.
Well, she's pretty big about it, though, Jack. She took the children in and raised them. Give them everything in the world.
Yes. Gave us everything but happiness.
I think you're right, Jill. Everything but happiness. She wanted to give you that, too, I think, but she couldn't.
But why? Surely if she loved Jill or Tony, she would want them to be happy, no?
It isn't that simple. She wanted them to be happy. She even loved them. But there were stronger emotions at work. Jealousy, frustration, disappointment. And these stronger emotions finally took control of her. That's why she killed Tony.
And Tony killed...
How do you know? I don't get it, son.
And you will pretty quick, I think. Tell me this, Jill. Did your aunt ever tell you that she loved your father?
Once. She told Tony and me she wanted us to know the truth.
Go on. What did she say?
She was quite calm, apparently, but I could see she was terribly upset. She said she loved our father very deeply. He used to come to the house often. One day she told him that she loved him. That's about all, I guess. Father didn't love her. He was in love with mother.
Just a minute. Did she say what he said when she told him she loved him?
Yes. He said, I don't love you. I'm sorry. I don't love you.
Mm-hmm. You remember Tony saying almost those same words to Miss T? Remember that time?
Well, yeah, but...
Did your father sing at all, Jill?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, he had a pretty good voice, too. He used to sing all them old songs.
Uh-huh. Sweet Alice, Ben Bowie.
Yeah, Sweet Alice. Oh, yes, sir. All them old songs. I can hear them now.
Now, Tony was pretty cruel to his aunt in a way. I don't care if he did either.
What you mean?
Well, she constantly had in front of her the living image of the man she once loved. The man who didn't love her. Think what it must have done to her to have Tony use the very words his father used. I don't love you. And every time he sang Ben Bolt, it must have been like a knife in her heart. Every day she was reliving the tragedy of her youth. Seeing in Tony the man she loved. And Tony hating her.
Yeah, but Jack, what did she send for us for? If she planned to kill Tony or Jill?
Well, don't you see, she didn't plan to kill Tony or Jill. She was afraid she might kill.
Huh?
Don't you remember how hard it was to get out of her why we were here?
Yeah, she was kind of vague, like.
Exactly. She was afraid. Not of being killed, but of killing. She wanted us here to protect her from herself. Poor, frustrated woman probably felt at times she couldn't bear to see children around who might have been hers. Children of the man she loved, but still not her.
Sounds very reasonable.
I don't think there's any question about it, Mr. Packard.
That's why I came back last night. It suddenly came to me that you were right, that she had killed Tony, and that Jill would... Oh, my darling, I'm so glad you're all right.
Yeah, but what about the bell ring? Did she do that?
Certainly. She probably heard Kurt whistle for Jill. Here was her niece in love, something that was denied to her. Or maybe the sound of Tony's voice singing that song came to her. Any one of a dozen things might have given her the irresistible impulse to kill. What could she do? She couldn't run to us and say, stop me from killing. But she could rouse us. That would stop. So she rushes to the chapel and rings the bell. After that, then run out and hide and come in later and pretend she just got there.
Well, what did she ring it this morning for? Hey, wait. You ain't told us yet. How did you know that Tony was murdered?
Yes, Packard. How did you know that?
By Tony's eyes.
His eyes?
By his eyes. And Miss T's eyes.
Well, I don't get it.
Well, the first thing that struck me about Miss T was the brightness of her eyes. They're fascinating. They seem to be all pupils. Lovely looking, but strange. You know how proud she was of her look?
Yeah.
When I got it finally, well, she put belladonna in her eyes. That makes the pupils big.
Bells of the 90s did that a lot.
What's that got to do with Tone?
Simply this. Belladonna's a deadly poison. It'll kill you if you take enough of it internally. And it dilates the pupils the same way as if you put a drop in the eye itself. The way Miss T did.
Well, when did she give the stuff to Tone?
At dinner. Put it in his soup or, well, in something he drank. Remember how bad he felt right after dinner? And it wasn't long after he went upstairs that... Well, that he was dead.
That's right. And then Miss T took the stuff herself this morning.
Mm-hmm. Came up here, rang the bell to warn us, called into the vault there, and drank the poison.
What were you doing up here, though, Jill?
Well, as I went into the living room to go to bed, I saw Aunt T going outside. I thought it was strange, so I decided to see what she was up to. I followed her to the chapel. When I got there, she had locked herself inside. I was just going to leave when I heard someone coming. I thought I'd hide on the belfry stairs till I found out who it was.
Uh-huh. Well, son, I guess we're finished.
Yeah, Doc. Now the doctor will be here before long. You take care of things.
I have. Some good come out of it all, anyhow. They're still here, and their beau ain't got nothing to stop them now.
Well, after you two get married, if you come back here to live, I hope you put some electric lights in the place and get Andy an automobile instead of them horses. And say, who put that burr on the horse when she ran away?
I saw Tony do it, but all I could do anything, you was off.
Oh, that's why you acted so funny, trying to protect Tony, huh?
Well, as I say, I was mighty fond of that boy. Mighty fond of him.
Which may save your life. Winter time means take your time. Take these special winter safety rules to heart. First, each time you get onto icy and slippery roads, test your car to find out just how much time it takes to slow down and stop. Keep your windshield clear of snow and frost. Use tire chains on snow and ice. And be sure never to slam on your brakes, lest it throw you in a skid. Follow the car ahead at a safe distance, remembering that the car will go 3 to 12 times further on icy roads than dry ones. In general, winterize your driving habits to be able to stop and maneuver safely at all times. The further adventures of Jack and Doc will come to you Monday at the same hour, when they begin their next adventure, The Stairway to the Sun. I Love a Mystery, written and produced by Carlton E. Morse, comes to you Monday through Friday, featuring Russell Thorson as Jack and Jim Bowles as Doc Long, with Athena Lord as Jill and Bob Dryden as Kurt Lewson. I Love a Mystery is directed by Mel Bailey. John Scott speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.